Her Sound, Her Story is an intimate conversation unveiling the personal experiences, histories, and significant social impacts of women in the Australian music industry. Featuring more than 45 artists spanning six decades, its unique narrative brimmed with rage, strength, beauty, and triumph. Michelle Grace Hunter and Claudia San Giorgi Dallimore spoke with Breakfast Zoe Canatis about the film. She began by asking what got them invested in making this film.
It's kind of a long story. We'll make the short version for you. I did a project in 2014 called Rise, which was like a photo series on the Australian hip-hop scene, which I definitely noticed that there was a gender disparity while doing that project. And I guess on further investigation, noticed that gender disparity kind of across the whole music industry. So I wanted to do something, I guess, to make a difference. And originally it was just going to be a photo series and just maybe 10 photos or something. And yeah, I realised pretty quickly that the conversation is obviously a lot bigger than just showing off women in pretty photos. So yeah, I asked Claudia to come on board and just come along to the photo shoots and do interviews. So originally that's what, I guess, we struck up this kind of conversation about doing something like that, not really knowing what that meant or where we would be in 4 years' time.
And why do you think this story of inequality in the music industry needed to be told?
I guess I kept seeing statistics and different reports that would come out every year about the fact that there was a gender disparity, and, you know, the Hottest 100 would happen and all these things would happen, and there was just this constant conversation about there being a disparity but not really anything about what to do about that. So I guess I wanted to start a conversation which actually delved a little bit deeper and was having a conversation with the artists about their experiences, so that perhaps the issue could be looked at a little bit more of a kind of micro level about what is happening, why is this happening, why are so many women dropping off? Because when you look at the stats of women that are actually participating in music from like a VCE and university level, it's actually really even. So the interest is there. It's not an argument of, oh, they're not interested, which does happen in other fields. But with music, it's actually really equal. But they do drop off when it's starting to make music. So wanting to explore, I guess, the reasons why that was happening. So that's where it all began.
It's also, you know, it's quite a prevalent time for women to be sharing stories, and so the space is there, you know, and I think if you watch the film, it's completely about women in music, but it's totally about, oh, you know, every woman's story, you know.
Mm. And when you started interviewing these women, was there a common thread or idea that you noticed throughout all their experiences?
I think we always reflect on one of the biggest things is probably the lack of confidence that women have, and it's not only from the beginning but all the way through their careers or their, you know, their pursuits of their dreams. That's definitely come up. And then, you know, all the side shoots that happen as you grow as an artist, I think, you know, the issue of ageism and sexism and
being a mother, and yeah, there's a lot of different barriers that women face that are particularly challenging, and it would mean that they'll kind of drop off at some stage. It's just too hard. It's too hard to navigate, or it's too hard to juggle, or they think that there's no support network for those particular challenges. So these are the stories that come through, and they're really beautiful. They're really universal. It's like women that have already seen the documentary that are not musicians that have seen it are just like, this is my story as well, which is really cool for us as well, because we're in the music industry and we made it very specific to musicians because they're women that you are aware of, are their household names, but it's actually a really universal story.
And did you find any challenges when you were making this film?
Yes. Short answer. Of course, it's a completely independent project and film and venture. And when we say independent, we always clarify that that just means there was no money and no support other than, you know, the friendship that Michelle and I have and the sheer determination to see it through, I guess.
I was going to say, it's really hard to put into words, I think, unless somebody's made a film, to understand what that actually means when you say independent and also just two people. It's such a monumental task, not only just to get the interviews, but like from Claudia's point of view, to actually edit it. Like, so many people have like, oh, so who, you know, who did you get to edit? It's like, no, Claudia did that. Like, oh, who did this? It's like, no, we did that. Like, there's no other people involved from that standpoint. So it's like, it's very, very tricky to put into words what that actually means. So, yeah, incredibly monumental task that challenged us both in so many different ways, and at times both wanted to give up at different times and just had to pull each other through, really.
Mm. Yeah, thanks for not giving up. And something I wanted to ask as well, yeah. did you find yourself experiencing any somewhat emotional burnout on listening to these experiences from these women?
I think I, by the time I became emotionally invested in the stories, was probably a lot to do with feeling the same way that they were feeling, you know, that I was experiencing their stories back in my own life. I don't think it was ever draining to have to listen to anything. I think both of us have felt quite privileged that, you know, so many women opened up to us as they did and were really willing to share. So I was definitely grateful even to be able to carry that and hold space that, you know, we could create that. But it's, yeah, when I watch it now still, and I've seen the film many, many times, there's moments that still get me where I just look at the hardship and it's really heartfelt that people have to go through this regardless of your gender, you know.
I mean, it's unfortunately not surprising that these women are experiencing sexism in the Australian music industry. But were you surprised that so many women were willing to share their stories with you?
Thing about that, the sexism in the industry is like none of these women feel like victims. And I guess it's something that's a really good point. If you haven't seen the film, to think that this is, you know, a poor me story. It's actually quite the opposite. Like these women are so resilient and so strong and they're so successful. And their stories are about sharing the experience that a lot of women feel just on a day-to-day basis, but none of it is poor me. It's all about, yeah, we do go through this and it's really hard, but we still get on with it because we love what we do. So I think that's really important to communicate as well. It's like, it's not a victim narrative at all. It's very much, yeah, there's the, I mean, the
it's
whole,
about celebration.
Yeah, it's a,
really.
I was going to say, it's a celebration.
And
yeah.
Also, I think I've said this many times, people are really willing to share their story and who they are, I think, if they're asked. And a lot of people are quite afraid to speak in the spaces with the topics that we spoke about, whether that's fear of having to deal with someone's emotional reaction or, you know, whatever it is that comes out if you ask someone to be quite honest with you.
So I guess on the flip side then I should ask, was it, you know, instead of emotionally draining, was it empowering for you guys to witness this?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think every time we felt like, you know, why are we doing this or giving up, we would do another interview and just be completely buoyed and just be like, this is why we're doing it. Or every time that Claudia sent me, you know, a new cut, it was just like I would have tears every time. It's like we have to do this. Like this story is so important. It's so beautiful. It's just it needs to be told. So, yeah, it definitely the opposite in that there was not emotionally draining whatsoever.
And it's really, I think, changed us as individuals as well, you know, in relation to ourselves and what we think about ourselves as women and how we relate to each other too.
How long did the film take to make?
We started, I think, in the first round of shooting. I always make numbers up now, but I think there was about 45 interviews we did first round, and then I couldn't cut a documentary. I had no idea what we'd done and how to retell that. That was like, you know, 48 hours of rushes. And we did a concert and an exhibition, and we brought all the women together, and I think it was at that point, which was, I don't know, was
2016.
That was like the
November 2016.
Yeah, the two-year mark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still no doco, still no nothing. And at that moment, I think having them all of these artists meet each other and see in the physical world what that was actually like and how beautiful it felt, that's when a narrative for me started to form. Even after that, it took me another 6 months to actually begin in cutting it. And then I don't know how long it took to cut.
Yeah,
couple months.
Yeah, probably 6 months.
Yep. And but I, you know, we went back and I kept doing it. We premiered a film that's now different to the film that's going to be shown tomorrow night. You know, I kept adding and adding and until I really felt it was finished. So the last interview we did after the, you know, Melbourne premiere and after one of the seasons. So
would you say then that you found that the vision of the film changed throughout that process, or was the intent kind of always the same throughout all that?
I think the main in trying to piece this story together is just that I had realised how much all of this beautiful wisdom and sharing had affected me personally, and therefore what was the most potent part of all of that I could try and give to an audience member, be that someone who's in the music industry, a young woman or anyone of youth, older creatives who never follow their dreams, just kind of all the tiers of people that it could affect, and then try and make sure that there was screen time for each one of those topics that I was, you know, hearing repeatedly, and enough screen time that it felt like we really did get to go in there and hit some of those points. But there's so much to cover, you know. As I said, it's 48 hours of rushes. That's a lot of unseen footage as well.
My friend was telling me about this stat before when I was telling her that I was about to interview you guys. And the stat is that 10% of the population, if they believe in something strong enough, that can spread throughout the rest of the population. And in this case, this momentum of women, you know, sharing their experiences with you. Are you hopeful that there will be change in the Australian music industry?
Yeah, I feel like we're already starting to feel the ripple of it just through the small amount of screenings we've already done, and just the buzz I get it's getting around the industry. We're starting to do industry screenings that APRA are supporting us doing, so they're actually taking it into major labels and organisations. So we feel like that's where the actual real change will come from, because, you know, when women watch it, they understand it and they know, but the change needs to come from people, you know, that are decision makers. So they're the people that we're looking to get it in front of now, and that's happening in the next couple of months. So we're really excited about that.
Mm. Well done. That's amazing. What kind of audience do you hope this film engages with, or that you hope to engage with?
Well, like I said, for me, I feel like I, from an editing perspective, had three tiers of audience, you know, in there as I was cutting it. And really, I feel like the most important are the people who are just starting out, or, you know, teenagers, ones that are still in that stage where you're really trying to decide your place in the world and who you are and what you want to be. And I think that's where a lot of the damage can come in. So it is made with an air of, you know, to inspire a young woman or young man to see it and kind of, you know, move forward. And I know that they can see themselves reflected. That was a big part of how we did the whole of Her Sound, Her Story and all of the facets, making sure that we had as much diversity as we could. And from a film point of view, it's so colourful and there are so many faces that appear, and I just tried as hard as I could to get that diversity on screen so you could be anybody and in some way, shape or form relate to who you've just watched.
Just on that point about who it was made for, I just had a friend of mine who's he's a really well-known artist in the metal industry, and he asked me to send – he hasn't been able to see it. I sent him the link, and he immediately wrote back, and he said, I know that you think that this is a film for women, but he's like, this is a film for men that all men need to see. And it was really quite emotional to hear that, I guess, because to see that it had struck a chord with someone that's in such a male-dominated industry and just going, wow. And he was just completely floored. He's like, I've never considered, you know, the world from this view before. So, I mean, that is just amazing, and hopefully more men do get to see it and, you know, have the same opinion where they don't feel attacked or it's, you know, not coming from a place of defence, but actually, like, what can we do to help? So, yeah.
Who are the people featured in the film? But I know there is so many. So I think many. Over, like, 45?
Yeah, I
maybe
think...
Maybe close to 50.
Yeah, I think close to 50 now that Shelley and Dapamala... Yeah.
Maybe list the first five people that come to your head.
Well, I'm thinking the first five that are in the cut, so which is Alicia Joy, Bonoffi, Anna Laverty, Jen Chloe, God, now I'm just going to go for it, Julia Stone, Meg Mack, Missy Higgins, Olympia, Tina Arena, Mama Keen, Mojo Juju, Kira Peru, Ella Hooper. Nah, I'm gone. That's it.
Well done.
That's all I can remember.
And then the rest, everyone else just has to see the film to find out.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to our website, all the artists that we've engaged with the last 4 years, they're all on there listed, and you can kind of click on their names and find their music and find out what they're up to.
Great. Mm. And so tomorrow night, Friday night, is the Adelaide premiere of the film. And there's going to be a panel. Can you tell us who's going to be on the panel?
We have a Q&A afterwards, which is we've got Julia Zamiro and Amanda Brown and both ourselves on the panel as well, which is we're really excited about. Mm. I believe there's only 2 tickets left.
Yes.
I think it's nearly sold out. So if you are hearing this, we are nearly sold out, but we do have another Adelaide season coming up soon at the Wallace Cinema. I can't remember the...
From the 11th of October at Wallace Cinema. They're going to start playing the film.
At Mitcham.
Yes. So if you don't see it tomorrow night, you can definitely see it then.
Thank you both so much, not just for talking to me today, but for making this film and doing this work for so many people.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Michelle Grace Hunter and Claudia Sangiorgi Dalymore speaking with Breakfast Zoe Canadas. They were the producers of the film Her Sound, Her Story. If you'd like to see the film, it'll be premiering tonight at the Mercury Cinema or playing at Wallace Cinema throughout the month of November.